Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Travolting presents The Fraser's Edge, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Covering Still Breathing. Enjoy the episode. That's right, folks. If you thought Travolting ended with last week's episode on the Twilight Golds, I have bad news for you. We are
still breathing.
That's right, folks.
Yeah. We are still here!
Still breathing.
Yes.
Still breathing.
Still breathing, which is the name of this movie that we are covering.
It's 1997.
We could have done better on that intro.
It's fine. Okay. This 1997 erotic drama. I would call it an erotic drama.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, maybe not that erotic. It's erotic. No, it's very erotic. Directed by James Ford Robinson. That's the
log. Who's James Ford Robinson, Jeff?
It's basically the only thing he's done.
Yeah, he's only done short films other than this.
Yes. He directed. He's a Texan, native Texan. He made this movie that's kind of about Texas in some way.
Somewhat.
A lot of Texas in it. There's a lot of weird things in this movie.
I don't know if I would claim this as a Texan, though. You know what movie I would claim as a Texan, though?
What?
Fucking Urban Cowboy.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's a good movie.
Texas movie right there, bitch.
Hee-ho!
You know what's another movie I claim as a Texas?
Laugh on the Line!
Yeah! Folks, Jeff and I, this is the second episode we're recording today. Jeff and I have literally been on the same wavelength all day long.
We're connecting today.
People are starting to confuse us as a gay couple.
I think we might start losing our connection in about 10 minutes.
Well,
when we start talking about our differing thoughts on this movie.
Still Breathing, as Jeff said, sort of a quasi-erotic drama. I don't know if I really call it erotic. It's got some erotic moments, but not really. I mean, the title Still Breathing is even that is not quite erotic. Like, this isn't like built like a... thank you, Jeff. It's not built like a 50 Shades of Grey-esque erotic movie. It's not. It's not. What are you... He's raising his eyebrows at me. I'm like, there are no sex scenes.
Right. So there's like a push-away sex scene. And there's a lot of sexual innuendo.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So, yeah, Brendan Fraser is in this movie.
Yes.
Before we get into the movie, I just want to do our little context at the beginning about Brendan Fraser and where he's at.
Why are you saying it in the voice like that?
Oh, well, baby. This is the last movie we're covering in the first era of our show.
Oh, shit. You're right.
We haven't really talked about the fact that we're sticking to the Travolting format of eras.
Yeah.
This is the last one in our era, our first era, which we're calling Early Hits and Misses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Very original.
He had some hits and he had some misses.
Yeah. It's a decent beginnings era.
Yeah. A beginnings era. This is the last one of that, so next week we will be having like a retrospective on this era. But this is the movie that's closing it out.
Because the next project he's going to be working on after this movie...
George of the Jungle. Which is what launches him into mega stardom.
Yeah. Full-blown stardom. Yeah. Celebrity A-list status.
Yes. So this movie's kind of his last hurrah as a growing
indie-esque actor. Yes. Indie-esque quotations.
Yes.
I don't really have any context for this, but
I just wanted to cover that up and say,
this will be like the last early hits and misses era that we cover.
And so it's still Fraser trying to figure out where he belongs in the microcosm of Hollywood.
I do want to say, I think it's a good movie to end on.
Yeah.
In his early hits and misses.
I think this plays a lot to his strengths.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get into it. And I know we have differing thoughts, but just some preliminary thoughts. It's like, I think this movie has a lot of good qualities to it. it was just not as engaging for me personally as an audience member. Now, I can totally respect and hear. There are some movies where Jeff says he loves them and I have to scold him for it. But this is a movie that I'm not going to scold you if you say you like this movie. Yeah. I'm not going to scold anybody if they say they like this movie. Like, can totally see somebody being engaged throughout this entire movie. I had to stop myself from falling asleep.
I would not say I was necessarily engaged throughout this whole movie in the traditional sense. Because see, here's the thing. Like, this movie stars two people.
Yes.
This movie stars Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's fucking hot in this movie.
Brendan Fraser.
He's a snack in this movie.
Are we going to get right into it?
But you know who his co-star is?
Yeah.
Say her name.
Yeah.
Say.
Say the co-star's name. Joanna Going.
More like Joanna Get Me Going. Am I right? Vava Voom.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
That's this movie.
Yes. Yes. Joanna Going, very attractive in this movie.
This is the reason I wanted to talk about this movie is
because you have a thing for Jennifer Going.
No, I have a thing for that. This movie is basically 110 minutes of nothing happening. Yeah. Except two very attractive people just talking to each other.
Yeah.
And making sexual jokes at each other. That's the whole pitch of this movie. Look at my notes.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I love that a lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through Joanna Goings.
She was in House of Cards for a season.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of stuff. But Fraser and Joanna Going are so attractive and enthralling in this movie together.
They are. I don't know.
I have
that.
Long contended the hottest movie ever made is the Mummy.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, both incredible looking people, look incredible together in that movie. In this movie, they had a lot of the same energy, buddy. I'm getting horny on Maine for this episode.
That's going to be the theme of this episode. Yeah. Is Jeff being horny
on Maine?
On Maine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad Becca's not here. she is here. Where is she? Okay. Enough, Jeff. I agree. This is two very attractive people. We get it. You're still breathing. This is two very
even that title word.
Jeff is putting his mouth over the mic because he has to chew on something right now. his eyes like rolled to the back of his head. Jeff needs something in his mouth right now, and yes, I am putting it as horny as you could be. All right. This is bad audio
still
quality.
Breathing.
Come on.
I'm still breathing.
Yes, I know you are. I don't know what else to preface before we just dive right into
this
it.
This movie's hot as fuck is what you need to preface as.
Okay, great. Should we start right away with the ranking? Because we do get Fraser right away.
Oh my God. What? Fraser at the beginning of this movie.
Yes, I agree. Which is why, cue the hair ranking. Welcome to the herring. Number fucking one. Jeff, look at my notes at the top right here. Number fucking one. Number fucking one. Because if you guys listened to our episode on Twilight of the Golds last week, I preface that he has like the floof of a hair. Yeah. Jeff is so like, Jeff, don't unbuckle your pants. Put your pants back on. No, Jeff, no, don't reach. Oh God. Oh God, Jeff, stop doing that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my, where's the tissue box? Oh, come on.
Oh my God.
That's literally what you're doing right now, Jeff. Tell me I'm wrong. And so he has the same, please, Jeff, for the sake of our audience's speakers in their cars.
just give you a nice little rumble.
If you listen to our episode on Twilight of the Golds last week, I mentioned that Fraser's hair looks mighty fine. It's a nice long shoulder length floof.
Yeah.
This is the exact same hair.
I swear to God, he films this probably a month after Twilight of the Gold. It's
the exact same hair, but
the hair grows out to the right length.
One difference, though.
What?
Is he's got facial hair. And oh my God. Okay, give me 5 seconds. Okay, yes. Brendan Fraser's look,
Stuart,
in this movie.
Yeah.
Should we just stop recording so we can like jerk off and come back?
No. Keep going. We gotta keep this energy.
Well, so still breathing Brendan Fraser. Oh my God.
The picture of him in this movie is my desktop background for our computer. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Look at them both. Oh my God!
God, he looks so handsome. He's got nice scruff with a non porno stash mustache on his lip. It's actually a decent looking mustache.
He's looking great. He's looking like a snack.
Oh my goodness! And he's like fit. He wore tank tops a lot.
God,
he's got the vibe. He's got the energy.
He's got the look.
He's got the vibe and energy of a dude leading the human pack in a zombie apocalypse, holding a hatchet. You know what I mean, right?
You know what energy he's got in this movie?
What energy does he have?
He's got the energy of a guy in Texas who makes Karens, baby.
When we say Karens, we mean those rock stone stack formations.
Karens,
yeah, yeah. Karens. So yeah, he's number one. Yep. This is number one without a doubt, and I think this is gonna be.
It's gonna be hard to beat.
It's gonna be really hard to beat. Be very hard to beat. Still breathing.
Mm.
Okay, should we just get into the movie finally?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
let's do it.
So we begin in Texas.
Yes, we begin in Texas,
San Antonio, Texas, to be exact.
The Alamo.
Yes.
Remember the Alamo. The stars
Fraser
at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Okay. Fraser is cutting out newspaper and magazine clippings of women's faces.
Yes, because he's a cool guy.
Because he's an interesting guy.
Okay. Can I just lay out Fraser real quick?
Sure.
I just want to lay out his deal in this movie.
Lay out Fraser.
So in this movie, Brendan, what's even his name? He's playing
Fletcher.
Brendan Fraser is playing Fletcher, a San Antonio, Texas native. He's a street performer. He does puppetry for children. And then at night, he has visions. I'm not saying, like, he just has dreams. He has literal visions of his one true love. It's apparently been passed down his family for generations.
Yes.
That they have magic visions of their true love.
Yes.
And he detects a woman. And he's, like, he's cutting out newspaper clippings to try and make her out of the clippings.
Yes.
He's like, and he has a whole wall of women.
And folks, if you think this reveal of Fraser's ability comes in, 10 minutes of the movie, 15 minutes of the movie, 20 minutes? No, it's the first fucking thing we see.
And the movie does not have any other supernatural overtones to it, besides the fact that he has magic visions.
Yes.
That's it.
But
he's a puppet master. He lives near the Alamo.
Yeah, he's a puppet master who lives near the Alamo. He does street performing.
Yeah, and he has magic visions. Oh, he also plays in a jazz band.
Yes. Meanwhile, we cut to Hollywood, California. Yes. Not Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, California, where we get Joanna Going, who plays Rosalyn.
Yes, or Roz for short.
Or Roz.
Yeah.
Roz, how cool is that?
I am Roz, how cool.
If you'd like to make an appointment.
And I'm here to fulfill Roz, how cool's destiny.
And we start with Joanna Going voiceover narration over Hollywood, California. And she's it's a short voiceover narration.
It would be extremely painful.
Are you done?
Oh, so you came back to die with your city.
Are you done?
No.
Okay.
I came back to stop you.
Remember when we said we're going to be done by a certain time?
Fire rises.
Okay. I should start. Things I should cancel my dinner plans.
People come for her.
I'm going to call my date saying I got to move to a different day.
Come for her.
Okay, so she does voiceover narration.
Feeling child.
This one broke Stuart. That one broke him. He's crying, folks.
Do you feel it, Josh? Get the fuck out. I'm turning your mic off. I'm just going to blast through this. I can't deal with this anymore. All right. So Joanna Gomez does voiceover narration. No,
I'm not doing it. Oh my God.
She does voiceover narration, and the crux of it, it's basically saying that she doesn't believe in like true love anymore because she's been taken advantage of by other men.
And then she's walking down the street and she gets attacked by a guy on the road.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, yeah.
Which Fraser sees in a vision.
Yes, he sees
a vision. Because after this happens, Fraser wakes up. He's like, no! And he's able, and he sees certain visions. He sees visions of Formosa. I think that's what it is, right? Yes, Formosa. Which is not a city in Taiwan, which is what Fraser thinks. It's actually a cafe in Los Angeles. What are you doing, okay. Jeff?
Right, it's Formosa. Okay.
So at this point, we stick with Rosalind for a little while. The attacker gets hit by a car and dies, basically. Yes. And before she runs to the Formosa Cafe, she robs him, runs to the cafe, then calls the cops. She then sits with this couple.
Yes.
Where she talks to this
this
foreign French gentleman.
Oh, this me. How you do, Thomas?
So Rosalind is a con artist. She woos this French gentleman to take her out on a date.
Yeah.
She cons him into buying her this painting, which she says is $14,000. This is a fake art studio that her and her compatriots devise. He buys her this painting. It scores them $14,000. And then, you know, she talks to her compatriots and thieves that she's involved in. And then she has to have this guy over at her place where she has to, like, get rid of him. And so her plan to do that is, oh, like, I'm not feeling too well. Like, can we just stay home and order in? He's like, oh, yes, that's totally fine. Let me take care of you. It's like... And he tries to kiss her. He's like, oh, no, please. I'm really not feeling well. Yeah. It's like, well, what can I get you? I can get you a pill. It's like there's aspirin in my bedroom.
Yeah.
So he goes to her bedroom at her house, and it's filled with AIDS and HIV memorabilia.
Yeah.
This part, a little insensitive.
Well, it fits for, like, she's a con artist.
Yeah.
And she sets this up to scare him away.
Yeah.
Which it succeeds at.
Right.
And he runs off.
And so he runs off. Fletcher, Fraser, is putting all these dream vision clues together and finds out that the love of his life is in Formosa, Taiwan.
Yes.
So he's going to book a flight to Taiwan.
Yes. And he has a layover in LA.
Right. And so he gets to LA, and that's when he is sitting next to a lady who's reading a book, and he notices something. He says, ma'am, can I borrow this? And steals the book out of her hands.
And he sees the Formosa Cafe in Los Angeles.
And there's a cool little shot here. Because it, like, starts looking at the cafe in the book, and then it pans up, and it's like the actual cafe. It's like a pretty cool shot.
I did a similar shot of that in a short that I did once. So good to know I pulled from the best movie ever made.
There you go. There you go.
But, you know, I just quickly want to say that his flight gets delayed at LAX because LAX fucking sucks. It's the worst airport in the country.
It is, besides Atlanta. Atlanta's pretty bad.
I've flown to LAX multiple times. Every time I get off the fucking plane, it's like, follow these signs for baggage claim. And 30 minutes later, you emerge out of some, like, service corridor into the baggage claim area, a mile and a half away from where your flight deboarded.
Yeah.
The bags don't come out for 30 more minutes, been like 2.5 hours at this point. You finally get it. And then it's like, all right, our Uber ramp is under construction, so you have to take a shuttle. Get in the fucking shuttle. Go all the way across the parking lot. You wind up, like, at this, like, bus loading zone where, like, Ubers are coming in. Call your Uber. 30 minutes later, it takes the Uber to, like, do all these figure eights to get in there. Get in the car, and it's already racked up to $60 charge. The worst fucking airport in the country.
Do you have an LAX experience recently, Jeff?
I've had, like, 3 LAX experiences recently.
Damn, that sucks, bro.
The worst airport in the country.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And they think putting that big LAX outside of it's like LAX, bro. Yeah, LA.
So he goes to Formosa Cafe. Meanwhile, Rosalind is working on her next con.
Yes.
And she's with all these women getting in like their
little con
gowns.
Circle.
And it's like their little circle. Yeah. And they're talking about what who they're trying to hit up. And she gets this tip.
It's a very similar group to the like con artist stripper group in Paradise City.
Yeah.
Similar energy.
And so she gets the tip that there's this guy coming in from Texas who they arranged a date with each other.
Yeah.
Who's this rich dude who has a lot of money and all that stuff. And so that's her next spot where she's going to go.
So, like, we don't know the guy's name, but we know he's rich and he's from Texas and he's going to be at the Formosa Cafe. And she's like, well, if we don't know the name, how hard can it be? How many guys from Texas are going to be in the cafe?
Right.
Cut to Fraser sitting at the bar. This guy, like, fucking Doug Dimmadome looking ass walks in. He's like, oh, yee-haw!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you from Texas, son?
He's like
holding the lasso in the air. He's coming in.
He has to, like, tuck his bowl down. He's like,
he tucks the bowl down. He, like, saddles his horse to the post out front.
It was just my whole life on the horse.
He walks in carrying a giant jug of oil, like a 50-gallon hat.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's like, all right, where are we going to go today, son?
A saloon and room.
And Fraser, who's doing like a light accent. It's just like,
Very light.
Francie meeting another Texan in here.
Yeah.
And then this guy's like, maybe from Texas, you know, oil and gas company.
And they shake hands and he walks away.
We's going to make so much money on this Native American land. We're going to rip it all up. It's funny, actually, after he comes in, George W. Bush actually walks, playing himself, walks in after him. He's like, a mission accomplished. It makes no sense. He leaves.
And then after that, John Travolta from Urban Cowboy
walks in. It's crazy.
And he starts dancing in there.
Yeah.
And then it gets even crazier because John Travolta from Life on the Line walks in. And there's five guys from Texas in the Formosa Cafe.
It turns out that this Formosa Cafe is hosting the Texas convention and every Texan is coming.
Rosalind walks in.
Yeah, Mr. like oil baron is like, I'm gonna go take a leak.
And he opens
up his oil canister. but she walks in, she sees Fraser at the bar.
And she looks at him, he looks at her. She looks at me and I look at him. And she looks at me.
Yeah.
And I look at
him. The sexual tension immediately there.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to get to. It's like they're just kind of looking at each other right away. Yeah. I have to commend these two actors' chemistry in this movie. They're
all baby.
Good together. Last time I saw chemistry that good was Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta in the 1985 picture Perfect.
Good movie.
Great movie. Not a great movie. It's an okay movie.
Yeah,
but
good movie.
Really, really fucking good chemistry. Yeah. That's actually, I think, a really good comparison.
Yes. This movie's hotter, but very good comparison.
Perfect's pretty fucking hot.
Sweaty, but this is like...
They're really fucking sweaty.
Yeah, they're really sweaty.
The computer scene where she types, do you want to fuck? Jeff.
The problem is...
Jeff, come on!
No, here's the thing.
Come on!
Here's the thing. I would agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that several weeks after we did that episode, we got an even better sexual computer scene. When Hugh Jackman orgasms to Ben Swordfish to successfully hacking the Department of Defense mainframe.
Okay, fair point. So she walks up and is like, hey, Fraser was the first one who initiates conversation because he looks at her and immediately he gets like the goosebumps from his visions. And he's like, I feel like I know you. And she's like, well, are you from Texas?
Ga-doing! And it turns out he is.
He is from Texas. Baby. And so she makes the connection and thinks that this is the oil baron tech company rich guy that she's supposed to woo and steal his money. And so he's like, oh, this is like my future wife, basically. Yeah. So he's like, oh, well, I actually got to get back to my friends or whatever. It's like, oh, no, like, please, like, you know, stay here with me. I feel like I know you and we should, you know, talk and, you know, spend some time together or whatever. Yes. This is the strangest way to pick up a girl at a cafe.
Yes.
I mean, I've tried it once before and it did not work. With the whole, like, you're my future wife. I've seen it in my visions.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you folks that moved.
My name's George McFly. You're my density. You're what? Oh. my destiny. Oh, hey, McFly! Thought I told you never come in here, butthead.
Oh, good pull. Good pull.
Good pull.
And so they meet up, and then she thinks he's the guy she's going to con.
Yeah.
He is in the impression that she is a future wife. So they go on a first walk together. I wrote this down. I'm proud of myself for this. Their first meeting starts a little rocky.
Ah!
Because he shows her how to make a cairn.
Yes.
Which is kind of...
I mean, that's how I start all my dates. We're walking. She's like...
Give me your hand. And you put a pile of rocks in their
hands.
What
do you like to do for a living? I'm like, give me your hand. And then I build a cairn on their hand.
Which is just code for a pile of rocks.
Yeah. It's a pile of rocks with meaning.
Stacked on top of each other
you
with
stack
meaning.
Stack the rocks with...
I'm going to say, though, because I wrote down, first meeting starts off a little rocky, which is also literal.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, it's a little awkward. There's some tense moments there. He says, like, oh, so that means LA's a good fit for you. It's like, no, I said I like hip here.
I didn't say it was a good fit.
So, like, I like that. I like, you know, it's not always like, oh, she's immediately falling for him. Like, there's a little step back and forth here until eventually Fraser does the pro move and he says, oh, well, like, I make cairns. And he's like, what is that? Give me your hand. And he makes a nice, beautiful, oh, yeah. I thought this scene was fucking hot.
Stuart.
I wrote down, like, but then he makes a rock monument on her hand like a pro.
You're going to have to get a leash for me. Because I'm going to be barking like a dog. Woo!
Woof, woof, it's very hot. It's woof. Actually very attractive. Yeah. Okay. Down boy. It's a very attractive moment here. Is Becca looking out at you?
No.
Okay. I suppose you bark like a dog in the living room's normal in this household.
Regular behavior.
Then she falls and cuts her knee. And I forgot to mention this, but Rosalind had a dream prior to meeting Fletcher of her as a child having a cut on her knee and a young little boy covering her cut with his own shirt.
Yes.
So flash forward back to where we are in the movie. She falls and cuts her knee, and then Fraser's first instinct is to cover her cut with his own shirt.
Yeah.
And she sort of freaks out. She's like, Why did you do that? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then eventually she's like, I think I should just go. And then they part ways. Why does she have a throwing knife and a log in her apartment?
Because she's a cool person.
I guess so. She's throwing a knife at a log.
He builds cairns in his house.
I suppose that's true.
The problem is they're having a log she throws a knife at.
So, but she's back at her place. He's back at his hotel. And they're both like moping about, you know, how, you know, they saw each other and how interesting that experience was.
Yeah.
She gets out the phone and is thinking about calling him. And then her phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's Fletcher.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you get this number? It's like, I called the operator and said, can I get the house on Summerdale and Sycamore or whatever it is. And they were very helpful. I was able to find you. And so they have a conversation. They talk. And then she invites him back to the Formosa.
Yeah.
Where he meets up with Rosalind and Rosalind's other
con. Like her con friend who's like playing up being a shitty guy.
Yeah.
To make her appear more desirable and him jealous.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. Because he just like is like, you deserve better than this guy.
Yeah. So then...
So I guess it actually does kind of work.
So Rosalind actually invites Fletcher over to hit her place.
Yeah.
Oh. I get it. It's getting a little old. We're 30 minutes into the podcast.
Your point being?
He's still breathing.
Still breathing.
So... This is a great scene.
Yeah. Because they start
Do you want to explain?
Dirty. They start getting all funky.
Do you want to explain what happens in the scene, Jeff?
And then he's like, let's hold off.
You're forgetting the projector thing.
Oh, my God.
He put his mouth over the mic again. Jeff really needs something in his mouth right now. I'm gross.
I'm going to wash this.
Yeah, you should.
Just saliva on it.
Salivating on the microphone. I'm going to have to replace the foam on these.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wash this foam.
So she has like a collection of 35 millimeter film stills and a projector screen. He's like, oh, like let me see some of your work. So he puts activates the projector screen, starts putting in the photos, and it first starts aiming at the wall.
Yeah.
And then she walks in front of the projector beam.
Yeah.
And she takes off her shirt. And then she walks around the room. He follows her around the projector screen beam. And it's like, this is an interesting way of seeing your work.
Yeah.
It's very tense.
Yeah.
It's very steamy. And then he gets up.
The steam.
And then they start.
The steam actually left the TV and started filling my room.
They start making out in the midst of the projector screen. Things are getting
hot. Put my humidifier out, turn on full blast.
Hot and heavy. And then that's when things get, the heat cranks up a little bit. Mm. He's like, wait a minute. We should stop this. Like, oh, you don't want me? It's like, no. It's just not how I imagined
it. I wanted to mean something.
Yeah. And so I wrote down kind of a beautiful scene. I love that scene.
Beautiful.
Very good.
Doesn't even begin to describe that
scene. And then the next day, he calls her up and says, I'm going to take you to Texas.
Yeah, which is like kind of like a...
Yeah, he goes from zero.
Like if you've gone through such a steamy scene as that,
he went from
just
0 miles an
hour.
I'm gonna
bring you to Texas.
He did a steady increase to like 5 miles an hour, and then floored it to 90.
Yeah,
floored it to 90 miles an hour. He did everything except for propose.
If it's like I'm gonna take you, and I'm like hot, and then he's like Texas, and I'm like all right.
What would be hot after I'm gonna take you though?
I'm gonna take you to Maui, baby. There's that one guy later in the movie who wants to bring her to Hawaii. I mean, in terms of what the movie's trying to get at, it like makes sense because he's more about authenticity than showboatiness. And you know. So it's hot in context later in the movie, but at the moment you're kinda like kind of Texas.
But they go to Texas together.
They do go to Texas together.
On like a second date.
Yes.
Which is fucked. not what I did for a second date.
Yeah.
And so
did you do Burger King or McDonald's for a second date?
What did I do for a second date? I think we went to the zoo.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember. Shows her his place, and she sees all like the decorative like magazine news clippings. There's a very beautiful shot, which is the desktop of your wallpaper of your desktop computer. And I encourage people to watch this movie or look up this. If you literally type in Brendan Fraser still breathing, you're going to get this picture. And it's him standing wearing like
looking like a snack. He's wearing like a wife beater.
He's wearing a wife beater and a tan jacket. And in the background are all the photos on the wall.
Yeah, of all the women.
But it's all the faces.
Yeah, it's all the faces of women he's trying to picture. And they're all around his head.
Yes.
Beautifully poetic image, but also just a nicely composed shot.
And then it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there because the reverse shot is Rosalind, with her back turned on him, looking at him through a mirror.
Yes. Another face in the wall.
Another face in the wall. Our film broness is like swelling right now. We got to put an ice pack to hold down the swelling. So like I wrote down, like, I love the dialogue and I love Fraser in this. Both are doing very good performances, but I think Fraser's like really taking it away from me.
Yeah.
Because like here's the only problem I have a little bit with Joanna Goins' character, and it's not her performance; it's how she's written.
Yeah,
she's because like it builds her up as like she's his con artist, but then like she almost stops trying to con him after the first date.
There's basically no characters in this movie. It's just two very attractive actors playing two very attractive sex objects.
Yeah, but
and for this movie. But kind of a good thing. It's kind of the point.
I think Fraser is able to add a little bit more depth to it, though.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like...
I mean, literally this movie writes a magical ability in to get around the fact that it has no interest in explaining how they met.
Right. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, with Fraser, he has a little bit of depth to it, both in his performance and in his how his character's written. Yeah. Whereas I feel like Joanna Goins has all the work ahead of her.
Yeah.
Because her character, it's like, she's a con artist. What does she do the rest of the movie?
Con people.
Not really.
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. So it's like, what does she do? She just kind of goes along with whatever Fletcher tells her he wants to do. And so there's a cute little interaction with one of Fletcher's friends, Cameron. The guy who plays Cameron, this little cute little scene is, I kind of like that.
Toby Huss plays Cameron.
it's around this. This is like the halfway mark of the movie, believe it or not, folks. We're about halfway through the movie at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right here where I start to lose interest, because all of the notes that Jeff, look, all of the notes I wrote from here to here.
Yeah.
That's halfway through the movie, which means all of this that I wrote right here.
You don't have much.
I don't have much.
Well, that's essentially the rest of the movie. The movie is essentially over at that point.
Yeah.
She's in Texas with him, and the rest of it is just like
them going around.
It's just sexy scenes of the two of them.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's the juice of the movie.
I wrote down little phrases like the rose window.
Yeah.
He takes her to
Alamo or some shit.
Some architect old church place, and there's a rose window. Yeah. And there's a story behind the rose window about a love interest. And
it's literally like a 50 Shades of Grey scene. He brings her to this place so that he can say some mild story so they can look hot and feel hot together.
I guess
that's the purpose of that scene.
I guess so.
Yeah, he does some puppetry for a sick girl, which has her like, oh, he's a nice guy too.
Yeah.
There's a big family party where his grandmother shows up and is like, oh, you're the girl from the visions.
Well, that's the thing is, before the party, he tells her about this dream he had. But he doesn't go super into depth about it, but he just says, like, I have these, like, visions where, and my dad had these visions, and my grandfather had these visions about how they meet, you know, the love of their life. And he basically says it as surface level as that. He doesn't go further into depth about it, because we're going to get a more deep reveal about it later when he tells her about specific things about the visions, which freak her out a little bit.
Yeah.
But he leaves it at that. And then there's the family party, and this is where things sort of make her feel uncomfortable, because what's weird about this is it's part of the family culture.
Yeah,
that
they have
the men have visions about their
future wives.
Their future wives. And so the party's circled around Fletcher bringing home his future wife, essentially.
Yeah. And they're all like, oh, you're the girl from the visions.
Well, and rightfully so.
She's rightfully a little disturbed.
Yeah, she's rightfully a little disturbed. It's like, why is everybody staring at me like I'm a display show or something? And so...
And he's like, but we were meant for each other.
Right, because then... She first then discovers that he's not rich.
Yeah.
He's a street performer.
Yes.
Who does puppetry and all that stuff.
Kind of hot, though.
Well, but it,
set me up with a
it goes fully against like what the initial reason she was there to do in the first place, that he's not the guy that she was supposed to meet at the Formosa. And that's when Rosalyn is going to leave. And he says, it's like, I don't think you understand. It's like, I saw you get attacked by a man with a gun.
Yeah.
And like, he's like very specific about these visions. Yeah. And, but it doesn't sway her. She still,
This is when I think we got the weirdest line in the movie actually comes up. Because he looks at her and he's like, please don't be Joanna going. Please be Joanna staying. And it's a little strange because she's playing Roz in the movie. I thought it was weird that he said that. But she's persuaded by his words and remains Joanna going.
Jeff has like got the stupidest grin on his face. Like, you just made a funny joke.
That's because I did make a funny joke.
Not funny. But she leaves. The rest of the 20 minutes of this movie, very minimal dialogue. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
And Jeff's dry heaving the mic again. Oh my God, stop. You're going to take the foam off.
That's the goal.
I know.
He wants to wash it.
He wants to take off the protection. So she leaves. This is what I wrote down. This is why partly I lost interest is... Rosalyn leaves, but after some soul searching, she comes back to Fletcher.
Yeah, there's like
that's my last note.
It's basically shots of him destroying a cairn that he built for her
because he's upset,
and then her just lying sultry in bed, smoking a cigarette. And it's basically that for about 5 minutes, and then she comes back and she finds him sleeping. Adult baby, she draws a picture of him sleeping on the same pad he was drawing pictures of his. The same picture she was drawing of his woman he's looking for.
Yeah, come on.
And then she goes out, and she's lays in like this bed of leaves.
It's like a bed of ivy.
Yeah, and a bed of ivy, and he wakes up, and he finds this picture.
Stop. Jeff, stop.
Rocking the tape. Rocking the house. Tape.
Jeff, stop, please. You're going to knock something over. And then that's where the movie ends. Yeah. Very.
That's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The last shot of the movie. It's her in like an inner tube floating down a river.
Yeah.
And then he comes up next to her in another inner tube. They make out in the inner tubes on this like shallow river.
Yeah. Woof, bark, 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 woof, woof, woof. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends.
Yeah.
And that's still breathing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where did we part ways in this movie, though? Because, like, I thought this movie is has good some good writing. It's good performances. Well, it achieves, like, its goal of being, like, you know, a hot, sweaty movie with these two attractive people in it. But, I mean, it's all very superficial text. Yeah. And
Stuart's like, this
bored.
Is a superficial movie that doesn't have much to say, which is some hot people walking around.
Yeah.
And I said, this is a superficial movie with not much to say, which is some hot people walking around.
Yeah. So I guess that's where our opinions divide more or less. So, but I could totally understand people liking this movie, like you and other people. And I don't necessarily recommend people not watching this movie. I think you should watch. I think people should watch this movie. If anything, just to get, you know, the vibe for Joanna Going and Brendan Fraser's chemistry, which is pretty good in this movie. I won't say it's like the best chemistry I've seen on screen. Still, it doesn't top. It doesn't top John Travolta and Jamie Lee Lynn Curtis. But it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think this is an excellent display of Brendan Fraser's tops and being like.
Looking like a snack.
Looking like a snack and being a romantic heartthrob.
Actually, I do want to make a correction. Brendan Fraser's not a snack. He's the main course, baby.
Yes.
Put him on that table. Lather him up in some butter.
Ugh.
A little seasoning on top.
Ugh. Ugh. So, Jeff, do you have any post-text in this movie? Or are you still, like, sweating?
I'm sweating like a dog.
I know you are.
So, yeah, this I do actually have one funny bit of post-text. This movie mostly just makes a festival run. It doesn't make a... do you know how this movie was released?
How was it released?
This movie was released at Blockbuster Video.
No. No. This should have been a theatrical release.
Here's the thing. It was released theatrically in a very small sense.
Limited release?
Very limited release. It had a little festival run. Brendan Fraser won the Golden Space Needle Award from the Seattle Film Festival.
Okay.
Which is an award. But this movie is the first only at Blockbuster exclusive home video release. And wow. I say, what a great idea. Because this is such a Blockbuster movie. This is such a movie, like, you get a Blockbuster and you bring home and you have a good night with.
Yeah, sure.
Bring it home for you and your date. You're doing something that night.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not finishing the movie, but when you put this thing on, that's guaranteeing some action.
Yeah, I'm not able to find like what its budget was, but I know it says its domestic box office was $212,000, probably not covering the cost of what it made. But this movie doesn't.
But it clearly made it all back at Blockbuster.
Sure. Well, this movie doesn't read as like an expensive movie, but definitely like.
It costs money.
It costs money.
They're filming at the Alamo. It costs money.
Yeah. And it's Brendan Fraser. He's probably banking in at least
he's making good money.
A couple hundred thousand. So, yeah, I'm sure this lost money.
Yeah.
But like, why didn't they put it in mass theatrical release? It could have a wide release. It could have. Mm. I think this could have like been decent. It could have made like at least like half its money back. But like, yeah, I don't know. That seemed very self-destructive to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, all I'll say is, you know, the only post-text you need about this movie is that, you know.
Is Jeff's cum on the floor.
No.
That's the post-text.
This movie's probably responsible for at least 5 babies. This movie's probably responsible for at least 5 living, breathing human beings.
Oh, my God. Who are our age now?
Yes. Who would be our age?
Think about that.
Yes.
Think about
that. That's all I gotta say.
Think about that.
That's all I gotta say. Yeah, that's a post-text about still breathing. Watch it. It's a good movie.
It's all right.
Good movie.
I think you'll fall asleep after the
first. It is available through Freevee.
You already talked about Freevee last week.
Yeah. I did not have the opportunity to watch this on Freevee because I was pressed for time and I had a free movie on my Prime, so I just did the free rental.
Yeah.
But had I have had the time, I would have watched this on Freevee because Freevee is America's great streaming service.
Are you going to champion Freevee?
If you
now
don't
on?
Watch movies on Freevee, what are you doing?
I think this is going to... It's just
an authentic cable TV experience without the cable.
This is your new bit you're going to be doing.
No, just get really into Freevee.
You're going to, every episode from Amazon now on, you're going to talk about Freevee.
Yeah, check out Freevee, guys. Okay, you won't regret it.
Yeah. I don't really think I have any thoughts to this
movie.
You know,
Judge Judy is now a Freevee original.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. I mean, I don't really have any thoughts outside of the fact that this is Fraser's last movie before George of the Jungle. So I don't want to say too much because we're going to have a whole episode dedicated to the retrospective, looking back. So maybe we should hold off on broader thoughts.
Yeah, I very much think that that's a smart idea.
But I don't really have any other thoughts about this movie in particular. It's okay. It's all right. It achieves its goal. For some people. It's not for others. I don't think I'd watch it again.
I'm going to buy this on 4K Ultra HD, play it every night. Before I go to bed.
What are you going to do while you watch it?
We got to talk about that.
That's
us.
All right.
All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to our episode on, I was about to say Love Actually for some reason, Still Breathing. Please remember to rate, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening on. As a reminder, we all are available on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and YouTube.
Jeff is fumbling his words.
Woof. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, baby. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Travolting Pod on Twitter or Instagram. r/Travolting on Reddit. TravoltingPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on the floor salivating. Also on Twitter @JeffWSweeney.
You can find me on Instagram and also sitting across from Jeff while he's on the floor salivating. At StuartM195.
And so a special thanks to Rebecca Johnson for our graphic design and Michael Van Bodegem Smith for our theme music. Have a great rest of your week, folks. And I'm still breathing.